I'm ready.
Welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Jeff Kervin.
I'm Josh Curry, and I hate it when Jeff does that. Well,
all right. I asked you if you were ready to record, and you said yes, so I hit record.
Yes, but when do I ever just say yes? Do I ever just say yes? No, I have a whole spiel, and I was starting my spiel, and I look over, and I'm like, oh, that says record. Well, I guess we're recording. We have a lively podcast. Such a lively podcast.
You guys should.
I don't think we've done a podcast like this in a long time.
Yeah, you guys should be on full alert. Josh and I have both had very, very hard days, and we're very, very angry people.
And we've got two topics on which we will definitely be going at each other over. So, let's start out with the fun stuff, shall we? Some details have been released about the Star Wars TV series.
Star Wars
and
sucks.
I, for one, am... What? I guess there are three subjects we're going to have to stretch down over. Old Jeff. No. It's basically the story of Luke Skywalker growing up, is what we're hearing.
Yeah, it's going to be riveting.
That is actually
in this
what
week's episode,
said.
Luke learns to waddle.
Okay.
Oh, look at the little diaper, Luke. Ooh.
Or I could finish a sentence. I'm not sure how much of that is actually what was said, because I haven't seen exact quotes. The exact quotes I've seen didn't say anything about that. They actually said that none of the actors from the movie or characters from the movie would be involved very much. So I'm kind of confused as to where this... I can't remember. I think that's what I read on Cinescape, but it could have been Sci-Fi Wire, and I'll have links to both of those little articles. But the bottom line is...
I think what they're saying is it covers the 20-year period between episodes 3 and 4.
Well,
maybe
I read that today, and I think I read it on Cinescape. I mean, I read this last week, but I was rereading it, and I was having a really bad day, so I'm hoping they didn't mean what it seemed like they meant. I really hope it covers the creation and of the rebellion and follows the rebellion, because that to me is an excellent television show.
So what you're saying is you don't want to see Tatooine 90210?
Well, are there any hot chicks in it?
This week, Biggs and Luke fight over the same broke-ass chick.
Dude. What's wrong with that? I don't know. No, I'm pretty sure. I never took it as Biggs and Luke fight over the same broke-ass chick. I never took it the way you did. But then again, not many people do take it the way you do. And that's our gay joke for the evening, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway. Wow.
No pup tents were harmed in the recording of this podcast.
Well, just one. But anyway, but I'm kind of excited. I think it could be very cool. Lucas is in an advisory position. He's not writing all the episodes. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
He won't be like directing much of it either. Yay!
Woo-hoo!
He is involved, though. Yay! I think that's good. Personally, I think that's good. So, I'm excited about this. It could be good. It could be great. It could be stupid. Stupendously excellent.
Depends on what you mean by involved. I mean, I would accept them having, you know, Lucas's severed head in a jar on set, but
we'll see. I'm a bit jaded about Lucas's writing and other abilities, but I'm interested because they've got at least 100 episodes planned. So long as they can stay on the air. There'll be at least 100 episodes. So I'm excited
about
it. That's
5 years.
I'm excited about it. Now,
I don't know.
In other news,
a science fiction series planned out in advance with a 5-year run, that can't work.
No. And it's not like Lucas has the dedication to do something like that either. I mean, geez, that guy, he just, he's just, no.
He is
you know,
quite
no
flighty.
Staying power.
very flighty, that Lucas.
Yeah. Because he keeps jumping from project to project. I mean, you know, look at all those projects he did. Oh, wait.
Yeah, like Howard the Duck.
Dude, he was a producer on that. And there was duck sex. I don't know what you're talking about. It was brilliant. I was like 8. I liked it. Sorry, I was 8. Now, not so much. But then I was a little kid. I thought it was cool, and it was a little creepy, cause there was a big scary alien in the guy, and a little kid, I liked it. Now, not so much. Anyway, that's not one of our topics. Howard the Duck is not on the list of topics. I'm looking at the list right now. No Howard the Duck.
You know, I wouldn't have thought I would ever be, like, excited to talk about anything about Sony, but given that my alternative is to continue this Howard the Duck topic, let's talk about the PS3.
I tried to go to that, but you had things to say. Like, you're anybody. Ooh, scathing. Anyway, Sony has said that there will be an upgradable 60-gigabyte hard drive in the PS3. And then all of us who went, wow, it's already been delayed, and oh my god, it's going to cost all the money, went, okay, so second mortgage to buy this thing? I'm really, really worried.
Yeah, well, actually, it makes perfect sense when you consider Sony's master plan. It's just that their master plan is completely stupid. The PS3 is not really a game console. It's a home entertainment hub masquerading as a game console.
No, that's Sony. So, I mean, that's Microsoft.
Why do you think they're competing in this?
Which is why I don't see the Revolution as... I see Revolution as the best gaming system, because it's just trying
because
to be
a
goddamn gaming system.
Yeah, it's a gaming system, yeah.
It is an excellent example of a single-purpose device that should be a single-purpose device. And that's a segue for later. Anyway! So, Jeff and I not real hot on the PS3, and 60-gig drive makes me go, well, at least we know it won't be cheap.
Yeah.
And now...
But, I mean, really, it's a Sony. What were the chances of that?
We've got a couple items of PC news. First of all, it's official. XP on the Mac. It's real. It's not fake. It'll do it. And it won't fry your computer.
It kind of sort of boots.
Oh, no. It really works. It's a hack. And it's... Apparently
works like Hair Club for Men works, or actually works?
No, it's a legit hack that really seems to work. The early concern was, it's got some stability issues still, because there's like no drivers for a lot of the Mac stuff in there. One of the early concerns was they thought that because there was no fan driver, that it couldn't turn on the fans, and at the time I'm thinking, boy, that would be stupid. To need a driver to turn on your fans. I mean, I can see needing a driver to change their speed and things like that, but it turns out that's not the case, that they will run no matter what OS is on there. So
nice. Well, what that means is that Apple's hardware designers aren't complete idiots.
Yeah, which I didn't think they were. I mean, you know, I thought, wow, that would be stupid. Okay. So XP is a reality, more of a, how to put it, more of a elite user thing. I don't think everybody just wants to do it, but hey, if you like that kind of stuff, then go for it.
Yeah, it's definitely a home user, enthusiast, don't try this at home kind of thing.
Now, some interesting news from the realm of Intel. The Intel VIIV. And I don't know what that actually is, because Intel doesn't even know, apparently. But those new processors and that new setup is not, I repeat, not all about the DRM. I am flabbergasted.
Flabbergasted.
Intel has decided that they are not, it's not their job to police content. They have decided that while they will, you know, I'm sure there will be hooks for other people's DRM stuff, they are not pushing their own DRM, at least not in the VIIV initiative. So, I'm interested. Jeff is fucking into messaging me. I'm going to speak, and Jeff keeps going, look, hey, Schmoke. And I'm like trying to be all professional and do the podcast, and Jeff's like, look, I'm a 12-year-old, look. Anyway, I'm gonna, you know
some,
what?
Some late-breaking news we need to talk about.
Late-breaking news, this just in. Actually, this is late-breaking news. Vista won't be available until January.
Yep.
It's been pushed back. You know.
And you know why?
I'm not shocked.
Because Dell and HP are pussies. That's why.
Yeah, what's your point?
According to the news that I saw...
I'm just now reading the article, so you're going to need to summarize for me, Jeff. Send me the article in the middle of the podcast.
It's been pushed back until January because the computer makers and retailers are afraid that Microsoft isn't going to deliver on time, and they're afraid that releasing a new operating system just before the holiday season is going to fuck everything up. So they want to wait until January, after everyone's bought all their fucking new computers, and then release the upgraded operating system, which makes about as much sense as running Daytona in a Yugo.
I did that once.
Shut up.
It wasn't the Daytona 500, it was the Daytona 5, but...
Yeah, it was just driving around Daytona.
Yeah, I was just really actually driving around Daytona Beach, okay? But I pretended like it was, anyway. Yeah.
Basically, Dell and HP are afraid that Vista's going to flop or not be released on time, and they're going to look like idiots. So they'd rather look like pussies up front and decide to sell all their holiday systems running XP... And then have people early next year going, hey, how come this brand new machine I just bought doesn't have the latest operating system, loser?
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's news, but...
Microsoft really should just say, you know what, it's coming out in fucking October, and if you don't put it on your systems, it's on your head.
So basically,
if they don't like it, Steve Ballmer will rip off their CEO's arm and beat them over the head with it.
So the OS has been delayed, and Microsoft has
that's the kind of thing Ballmer
PC
does.
PC makers. Wow. How excellent for Microsoft. Seems to me like Microsoft just kind of said, hey guys, they're giving us an excuse to delay. And, you know... Delay can't make it any less stable. I don't know that it's a bad thing.
I don't know. It depends on how many bribes he takes.
Oh, ow. Ow. That was like I got hit in the gut.
Warning, political joke.
Yeah, but you didn't warn until it was too late. Hey, until it was way too late. Okay. Now we get to one of our fun topics. That's right. Fun topics. I think this is an interesting thing.
We have fun topics?
I'm going to talk about it. I'm not going to be biased. I'm just going to give the deets. And then I'll let you rampage.
I am, in fact, going to be completely and totally biased.
The details aren't biased. Philips, the spinoff company IREX, has released some solid details on their ebook reader, the Iliad.
You are so reading that verbatim from Engadget.
IAD. No, I wasn't. But now that I go to engage it, it turns out I said it verbatim, but anyway, Iliad, and it's coming out next month. It's a T8 touchscreen that's monochrome. It's a ebook only device, 400 megahertz processor, 64 megabytes of RAM, 224 megabytes of user accessible internal flash, Wi-Fi, Ethernet, 3.5 millimeter audio jack, and slots for SD and compact flash cards, and as well as USB
and
drives.
USB drives.
Yeah.
And all for the low price of 650 euros.
Maybe. I'm not gonna. The reader on Engadget says that that's what it's going to cost. But until we see something official, I'm not gonna foster the rumor mill. Okay. But
all right. Let me say this.
We don't know how much it's gonna be. That's all I'm saying.
The hardware is impressive. Okay. E-Ink gives much better contrast than LCDs and incredible battery life because it's only using power when you're changing the text. Once the text is there, it's static, it requires no power. Yeah, it's got Wi-Fi, it's got Ethernet, it's got SD and compact flash and USB and all different kinds of ways to get stuff into it. It reads HTML, it reads text, it reads PDF.
MP3s.
Yeah, it plays MP3s. Sounds great. Except that they're going to sell like 5 of these. Because dedicated ebook readers continue to be a dumb idea. They've been a dumb idea since the late 90s. Since the Rocket ebook reader flopped. Since the Franklin ebook reader flopped. There's a reason why nobody buys these things. They're stupid. You know,
actually, I'd say it's more price. But I am really
you're buying something you don't need. Okay?
Well, but
here's what it comes down to. Samsung has just released a phone with a VGA screen, 480 by 620, on a phone, on
How
a cell
big
phone.
Is the screen? How many inches?
I think it's like a 2.3-inch screen.
Okay.
But that's my point. That's exactly my point. It doesn't matter how big the page is, as long as the text on the page is big enough to be comfortably readable. I read stuff on my Trio all the time.
It doesn't matter to you.
It doesn't matter to a reasonable person.
Well, actually, Jeff, that's bullshit. I don't enjoy reading on a 3-inch screen. Well, Jeff, you know what? I don't think you have to agree with me. I think I'm tired of your spiel.
What is it?
Size
was it about
doesn't
reading
matter to you? Size doesn't matter.
What is it
to
about
you?
Reading on
it's
your Zodiac that you
thing.
Didn't like? Why was that not comfortable for you?
Well, there were a number of things, and screen size.
Okay, let's hear it.
Was one of them. And I played around with my fonts. I played around with my text. I was uncomfortable about the amount of text on a page. I wasn't happy. I did it, but I would have much preferred a larger screen. And this isn't
how,
me
how many words can you read
yet.
At one glance?
Jeff, that's not the point. It's a lot easier for me to keep track if I have more words on a screen. I know you don't get
it. It's a lot easier for me to get lost.
Hey, you're going to let me finish my sentence.
No, I'm not.
Okay, then we're done.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Hey, you knew I had a shitty day, and if you're going to interrupt me, then I'm not going to do it. Not going to get interrupted because you disagree with me. You keep asking me questions, you're going to goddamn let me answer a question. You keep asking me questions because you know everything about what I prefer and what works best for me. And this is where,
Josh,
this is where my problem
what
is.
You don't seem to, what you don't seem to realize, and what I'm sure our listeners do and what I do, is that if I never interrupt you, you will just keep talking.
Well, you know, if you
I have to interject somewhere.
I'll never get my point across. And I would love to finish two goddamn sentences in a row. And I would love to get to tell you my point before you rebut it. You're already asking me questions, and I haven't made any points. So we can argue about whether you're going to keep interrupting me, or you can let me explain. What
I'm
is
waiting.
Different? Oh, gee. So you're going to interrupt me to say you're waiting. Excellent. This is fun.
Well, you kept going on about...
I'm done. Next topic.
How I never let you finish.
Done.
No,
say
really. What?
You don't care.
Why? Why do you think this will succeed?
You don't care.
When every other dedicated ebook reader has failed.
You don't care. I'm done. There's no reason.
Our listeners might care.
Talk to you. You've already made up your mind. You're just looking for where I'm wrong. And I'm sorry. I'm tired of that kind of conversation. You have no open mind about this. You don't really want to hear my point because you don't think I can tell you anything you haven't already thought of.
You probably can't, but up something
then
our listeners
no
haven't thought of.
There's no point in me talking. Well, you know what? Just for you to stomp all over it, to not even let me finish my sentence and for you to stomp all over it. I'm done.
So finish your sentence. Go ahead.
I never said this was going to succeed. I said the reason they failed is price point. I don't need a PDA anymore. I don't use a PDA anymore. I would use this at a reasonable price point. At the price
what would you
Zodiac,
consider to be a reasonable price point?
At the price
point
of my Zodiac or so.
Somewhere so 300 bucks. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never said I thought this was going to succeed. I said, I like it. I think it's a neat idea. I said, I like the way this looks. I like the size of the screen. I prefer the larger screen. I would pay $300 in a heartbeat for a single purpose device like this. And it's not even single purpose. It can do MP3s, so that makes it multi-purpose. It can read compact flashes, so again, not just a single-purpose device. It can do a lot of the things I do on a PDA, or the main things I did, which was MP3s and e-books, and then I did some games, but I long ago abandoned my PDA for games and went to the Game Boy Micro. There is a market for this, but not at this price point. If it really is 650 euros, then it's pricing itself right out of the market, which has been the most common problem. And
I don't think this will sell worth a damn for anything more than 100.
Okay, well, I think you're wrong. I think
although you're right that the iPod has demonstrated quite capably that you don't have to be a convergent device to succeed. Yeah, you know, that a single purpose device done really, really well and executed properly and that really plays to its strengths can be a success. But I don't think this is it. I don't know that there's ever going to be a dedicated ebook reader that anybody takes seriously. The only, honestly, this sounds really stupid considering that I'm trying to actually establish a business selling ebooks, but I really don't think ebooks are going to catch on until it's like in the Majority Report. Until this e-paper is the size and shape and weight and thickness of paper it's just like a regular, it's a 20, it's till you have something that feels and looks like a 20th century sheet of paper that happens to be able to change what's written on it.
Well, I mean, that
at a moment's notice
help, but
this, you know, I just don't see there being that many people willing to buy something like this, even at $300, when if they really want to read ebooks in the first place, and a lot of people still don't, but if they really want to read ebooks in the first place, they can read them on their phone.
But again,
there are enough cell phones out there with high enough resolution screens that most of the people that are willing to read ebooks in the first place can read them on their smartphones.
See, I think that something like this opens it up to other people. Other people who aren't technophobes but don't want to read on a PDA. That don't want to read on their phone, because I will never be reading I will not
yeah, but
be
there's
reading
what, a
e-books
dozen of those
on my
people?
Phone. Screen size does make a difference.
Screen I size think you're in the decided minority there.
I don't think I am. You can keep saying that. You've always thought I was in the minority. But you know what? Our listeners aren't the majority.
I think people geeky enough to read ebooks in the first place are either going to read them on their phones or something like this isn't going to tip them over.
Well, I disagree, but my point was from the beginning that it's not about the device being single use, because again, it does have more than one use.
The iPod, the point I made about the iPod still stands. A single-use device executed really, really well can be phenomenal. But I just don't think there's a market for this.
I got it. But I still think it's a neat device, and I would love to have one. And that's my entire point. I wouldn't love to have one at this price point, and I don't pretend to know whether it'll succeed or not. I don't think it will at its price point, but... I mean, you're just, you know...
I mean, hell, only 3% of Americans ever step foot in a bookstore in the first place.
I understand that, Jeff.
Yeah.
I understand that, yeah. But...
No one's going to want to read ebooks enough to shell out $600 on a device that just displays ebooks.
Again, I never argued that. So you can keep saying it all you want. I never argued that. I still think this is a neat device. I still think... It's got a lot of potential. I think that it's also got, with what's in it, a lot more capability than what they're using it for right now, with a 400 megahertz X-scale processor and 64 megabytes of RAM, with an additional 224 megabytes of user-accessible internal flash.
Yeah, it's got the brain of any PDA out there. It's just as fast as a tungsten T5.
So. And we'll have to see. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities beyond that. But I think it's an interesting device. I think the fact that it'll read, that it's not like Sony's piece of crap and not DRM'd all the hell is important.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big deal. The fact that it can read unadorned HTML and ASCII text is huge.
And the fact that you can plug it in USB. There are a lot of ways to get data onto this thing, which... has not been true of previous ebook readers. It's never been that simple to get something onto your ebook reader. Wi-Fi, Ethernet, SD, compact flash, USB. That's a lot of options. I mean, I'm saying that this is opening up options, and it's starting to look like the right kind of device for if an ebook-specific device is ever going to sell, this is starting to look like the kind of device it would have to be.
Once this device gets down to $100 on clearance, I might get one for my mom.
Well, I mean, once
this is more a sign of things to come
down
than
to that price. Well, I never said this was going to be today's thing. I think it's neat, and I think it's the next generation. I think it's got potential.
By the time we're 3 or 4 generations into this, people are going to be reading on SVGA cell phones.
And again, I don't think that cell phones are going to take off as a place to read ebooks. And I mean, for some people, yeah.
Well, let's face
if
it.
Ebooks are ever
in all probability
on the geek,
nothing's going to take off.
Elite.
As yeah. In all probability, no one's ever going to read ebooks because no one reads.
Well, most
people don't even read the newspaper anymore.
Can you tell Jeff and I are having a little bit of a crisis as writers when we talk about reading in general?
Philistines.
My point is, there's potential here.
Yeah, speaking of things that don't require you to read or be able to read.
IBM's cool new voice recorder. And I think that software's got a lot of potential beyond the voice recorder for things like Google, because, damn, it's cool. Not only has IBM got a voice recorder that has voice recognition, that voice recognition allows you to not only search for a certain bit of text, it allows you to search for a certain person saying that certain bit of text. That's damn cool.
Yeah, that's very cool
software in an IBM voice recorder.
That is incredibly cool for recording things like conferences.
Well,
where you want to be able to actually narrow down something to, okay, who said that?
Well, and I think that, I see a lot of opportunities for Google with software like that. When you look at Google, they do a lot of indexing, and they do a lot of that stuff. Now, what if they're indexing speeches? What if they're indexing, you know, any kind of free audio that's out there?
Or hell, the audio track of video.
Or video. That's where I was going next. That's huge. When this technology can come to your computer, imagine being able to search your audiobooks for a specific passage.
Or search your entire collection of Friends DVDs for a particular quip from Chandler.
Exactly. You're going, man, I know Chandler said that, but when did he say it? I think that's just some really cool technology.
Yeah, this stuff is going to get really, really pervasive as it continues to develop, to the point where, you know, right now, more Google searches are conducted on cell phones than on PCs. And I think 5 years from now, more Google searches will be done by voice than by text.
Yeah. I think this is some really exciting stuff, and that technology, voice recognition has been on the periphery for years. You know, with Dragon Naturally Speaking, people were talking to their computers a decade ago, but never successfully enough to make it mainstream. It was always too complicated, too much to set up, too everything.
Dictating to your computer is one thing. Asking your computer a question, asking your computer or asking your phone, and by extension Google, to look something up for you, that's different. That makes your computer more like a secretary and less like a secretary.
Well, does it have boobies?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Secretaries are supposed to have boobies. And I saw the secretary, and apparently they're also supposed to wear bondage gear. And, well, frankly, I was okay with that, because Maggie Gyllenhaal? As you can tell, my wife's not here. Anyway, very cool technology. Hey, Jeff and I agree on something. Which leads me to our next topic. It's not that Jeff and I disagree on our next topic either, but our next topic is Jeff's Mobile Minute. So, Jeff, be mobile.
All right. Tonight I have a few special words, one might even say explicit words, for those of you out there that feel like Palm OS is stagnant and dead. I had to block someone today on Google Talk because he kept prattling on about how much he was looking forward to Hollywood, the new antenna-less GSM 3G Trio. But only if it was running Palm Linux or, you know, something cool. As far as he was concerned, Palm OS is dead, and when I told him that Palm is looking to stick with Garnet and Windows Mobile until 2010, that ALP was mostly for the Asian market and Palm didn't have any interest in it, he declared that Palm OS was dead. Nothing new. I'm sick of these people. Dumbass proles that think something has to be new and shiny to be worth a damn. Palm OS works. Period. I don't care if it's new. I don't care if it has the latest sparkly UI. In fact, I've tried the latest skin UI, and I damn well prefer the unadorned Palm OS look. The only thing I change is that I replace the default font with Trebuchet MS, about 13.5 points. That's it. It's a very subtle change. I'm sick of this geek-imposed arms race. If you want bling, buy Snoop Dogg's diamond-encrusted sidekick and leave me alone. I want my mobile tech to be fast, stable, and efficient. Palm OS works for me. If it doesn't work for you, shut the fuck up and don't let the door hit you in the ass. While you're bitching about how the latest from Palm doesn't have Wi-Fi or a voice recorder or a goddamn flux capacitor, I'm actually getting work done on my Trio. I'm checking email, I'm surfing the web, checking off my task list, reading ebooks, listening to podcasts, and, oh yeah, writing. And you're boring me. Been this week's Mobile Minute.
You know what I have to say? You are boring me. The whole argument is boring the fuck out of me. I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care what they think. I'm done. I'm done. I think what I think. You're not going to change my mind. They're not going to change my mind. Stop arguing over it. All you're doing is angering each other and driving people like me away from the forums where these conversations happen, away from the one source chat. This is the reason I stopped following mobile. Wow, I had a good rant going, and then I couldn't talk. this is why I stopped following mobile tech. Stop it. No one gives a fuck. No one cares whether
That's
you
my
like
point.
It or whether you don't. Well, Jeff?
That's my point. Quit your bitching.
Well, then stop telling people to quit their bitching. Ignore them. If you ignore them, then it's not a problem. If they ignore you, then it's not a problem. My message is for all y'all. Shut the fuck up and don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. I'm serious. If you can't talk about something else, spewing the same arguments over and over and over again for 6 months or more, what's the point? You're
exactly
spinning your wheels, but you're doing it too, Jeff. You can say exactly.
I've already taken the links for Trio Central and OneSource out of my list of bookmarks.
Yeah, but you'll
I am
be back.
Yeah.
You
don't care.
You said this.
I have writing to do.
You said this months ago, and then you went back, and it was the same thing. This is all bullshit. No one cares. Some people want one thing, some people don't care. And it's preference, and
the people that want bling from Palm are never going to get what they want, and they just need to shut the fuck up.
So they can ask for it, they can bitch about it, you don't have to read it. And you don't have to respond to it. And that's my point. That's where I'm at. This is where I've been at for 6 months. And I said it, and I'm saying it again. No one fucking cares. You guys can want whatever you want or be really happy with Palm OS. I'm disenchanted with the entire PDA right now. But I don't gripe about it. I'm mellow.
Yeah, well, you don't have people pestering you about it all day.
Well, and why do you have people pestering you about it?
Because they won't shut the fuck up. Okay, never do that again.
But
I don't know
true.
What that was,
you're
but
wrong.
Don't do that.
That was a buzzer. That was the you're fucking wrong buzzer.
That's
people
not a buzzer.
You.
That sounded like your computer was having an epileptic fit.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe it's tired of you. Maybe you've given my computer epilepsy. Or maybe not. Anyway.
Your laptop does suck.
Dude.
Can't even play DDO properly.
Dude, up until a week ago, it played DDO as well as your desktop. So you can go fuck yourself. Also,
hey, my desktop is freaking smoking. All right? Smoking.
Yeah. Okay.
Gig and a half of RAM, AMD 64,
X700
GPU.
Any day. I'll put your desktop up against my desktop any day.
Okay, I don't want my desktop rubbing up against your desktop because that's just gross.
Anyway, my point was, the reason people keep pestering you about it is because you insist on telling them that they're wrong.
Well, they are!
And you think they're
I'm
wrong?
I'm not helping my case.
No! You think they're wrong. Guess what? They think you're wrong. Impasse. Oh, look. It's like fucking
no,
Republicans
they
and
think
Democrats.
I'm wrong. I know they're wrong.
Well,
see,
they
there's a
wrong.
Subtle difference there.
They know you're wrong.
No. They can't know I'm wrong because I'm not wrong. They can't know something that's not true.
Dude, you know stuff that's not true all the time.
anyway. Don't think
think so.
Yeah, I know you don't think.
But anyway.
But that's not really your
fault,
Mo.
So, basically, I'm just telling everybody who wants to tell me how bad Palm OS is and how it doesn't have the proper amount of bling to shut the fuck up and step off. I don't want to hear it.
Bling!
Next!
I want bling. Can I get Palm OS that makes sushi and gives me shiatsu? I want a Palm OS device that does that.
No, but you can tell us what's in this week's Comics Cornucopia.
Oh, I can't, huh?
Ha ha!
Well, I am far less prepared than I normally
Game,
am.
Game, set, and match.
There are things to talk about. First of all, Wizard World LA. Big convention this weekend, actually not as big as San Diego. Comic-Con is the biggest comic convention. These other conventions are just pretenders. Wizard World keeps trying to break out and be that next big convention, but they're okay. They're not super stellar. Still interesting. Lots of people talking. And a lot of talk about crossovers over at Marvel, and a lot of talk about how the crossovers are mostly done for a while over at DC. And DC's paring back titles, and Marvel's adding titles. Okay, I used to be a I don't pick either one over the other kind of guy. I'm calling Marvel out, man. They've got to do something. They can't just throw a big name on a book and an artist on a book and go, okay, it's time for a new book. Okay,
book?
I hate Jeff. He totally keeps messaging me, and I'm thinking it's important. And I read it, and he's trying to derail me without speaking. Damn you! Anyway, Marvel.
See that? Now you have to put that in the show notes so that people know what derailed you.
I don't have to. Anyway, Marvel. I'm dropping Marvel titles. I was reading stuff by Chris Claremont because I was hoping he would become the old Chris Claremont. He would have that. He's always been different. He's always been a different kind of comic book writer, but he's gotten to the point where I can't follow his shit because he jumps all over the place. He's like fucking Kurt Warner, okay? Wait, did I say Kurt Warner? Kurt Wagner. Wow. I got football on the brain. Jeff's laughing.
Since when did an overrated quarterback become a member of the X-Men?
Kurt Wagner. Kurt! You know who I was talking about. I was talking to someone about a lot of football stuff today. I got stupid. Anyway, Nightcrawler, for those of you who are less comically inclined than I am, who is apparently also... I don't know. I think it's impossible right now. I'm stupid. I'm dropping my Chris Claremont titles. I'm seriously thinking about dropping all the Spider-Man titles, especially since they're canceling Spider-Girl, the one excellent Marvel comic I read, gone. They're adding another Wolverine title, and I'm kind of interested in it because it's like, it's the non-crossover title. It's the title where nothing, and there's complaints about that kind of stuff, but, okay, it's something I might read. It's why I originally got back into the X-verse anyway, with Extreme X-Men and Chris Claremont, and it made more sense because it never fucking crossed over. And it was solid, it was happy, it made me go, whee!
What about Astonishing? I mean, I didn't think Joss Whedon was doing anything weird.
Well, he's, right now he's every other month. I'll still be reading Astonishing. And I'll still be reading a couple. I'm going to give Daredevil a little more time because it's not all that crossover-y. And I'll probably keep doing the Ultimates line, but, and here's the big kicker, Ultimates is crossing over with the Supreme Power universe because they didn't have enough crossovers going on. And it's a big 9-part thing written by JMS Bendis and Jeff Loeb. And I want
well, those
people.
Are good authors. I mean,
yeah, they're all
you
good
know,
guys, but
it just
why?
Seems. And, you know, honestly, you know, I blame Quesada. Quesada is all. I mean, ever since he took over as editor in chief at Marvel, they have been all about jumping the shark. That's all they know how to do anymore.
It really bugged me because some of these titles were excellent. I'll still probably read some of the alternate titles.
Everything Marvel does now is a stunt. And I got sick of it. I got sick of it a couple of years ago, and decided, you know what, this is just stupid.
You know, DC was kind of bad about that stuff, but I always found a couple of titles that I could read within DC, and I always liked the overall feel of the universe better. The DCU is more intriguing to me sometimes because Marvel keeps saying they put all this emphasis on character. Unfortunately, there's only three characters. They just have different powers. There's Captain America, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. And everyone else is based on those three guys. These are the big Marvel three that, you know, okay, you know, Iron Man, well, you could kind of make an argument, but he's really kind of a cross between Wolverine and Spider-Man. He's quippy and intelligent, but he's a fucking alcoholic. I mean, there's all this realism, and I'm good with that, and there's some neat stuff, but now they're doing this whole civil fucking war crossover, and there's going to probably be multiple Avenger books when this is over, and they're like, oh, we're shaking up the universe, and now that, you know, it's basically the Mutant Registration Act all over again, but now there's heroes for it, because it's the Superpowered Beings Registration Act. And I'm like, I read a lot of this in DC a long time ago. You know, they've talked a lot about, in retrospect, not in current continuity, but they talk about in the past, and there's some really interesting stuff. They talk about what disbanded the JSA and all that stuff. Crazy. I'm just... Yeah. Marvel no, is growing, and they're both all about crossovers, but...
And I can guarantee you that at serialfiction.net, we will never pull stunts like this unless we really want to.
Unless there's a good storytelling reason. And that's what I like about Infinite Crisis. There is a good reason to pull a stunt there. Infinite Crisis is a, you know, I mean, it's interesting. It's compelling. It's changing the way they're telling stories. It's giving them storytelling opportunities. It's getting them out of the same old mold. They're canceling titles out of this. They're not adding titles. They're focusing. They are adding titles, but they're not the same characters. It's not, there's going to be fewer Batman and fewer Superman titles after this. There's going to be a new Blue Beetle title, but that's okay. There's going to be different kinds of titles. There's going to be the Shadow Pact title, which... frankly, I'm really interested in. It's all the, it's like Detective Chimp and Ragman and these obscure, you know, Blue Devil, these obscure DC magic-based heroes, and it's all spinning out of what happened in, you know, before the crisis. And there's some really interesting stuff there. There's new kinds of titles, new kinds of stories. I'm excited about where it's going. I'm excited to see. And Marvel, maybe with Civil War they're trying to do that, but it seems like they're just, you know, they're stuck on a loop. And Bendis, they've given too much control to really just one or two guys. Whereas DC has a stable of four or five authors that are really central to this, but they're using everyone. Everyone has input. Everyone's working together. Truly collaborative processes. And they're not giving anyone Iron Spidey armor. So
with
I'm serious. I
seven
mean, I,
appendages total, which still makes absolutely no sense to me.
Well, Joe Q drew it, and then he said
they're
going
to
yeah.
give him extra appendages to make him more spider-like. You stop at seven.
I'm
what the fuck have you seen a seven-legged spider?
I'm having money problems. Marvel is not making the cut. I'm interested in a couple of Marvel titles right now. Spider-Girl, which is over in four issues. Hulk, because they're doing some really interesting stuff with Planet Hulk. I'm kind of interested in this Wolverine stuff, because it's all about him. Now he's got his memory back. It's all about him exploring that, and it doesn't cross over with other titles. And those are the three big Marvel things I'm really interested in right now. Daredevil, we'll see. Bendis isn't on it anymore, which actually makes me more likely to read it. Everything at Marvel has become Bendisized, or Janisized.
For your protection.
And JMS does, you know, I like him. He's written some really good stuff. But he doesn't have the kind of control of over Spider-Man that he would, you know, really, not at all. And he doesn't have, you know, he's just, sometimes I think he's out of ideas when it comes to Spidey. He's done some interesting things.
Honestly, I would love to see Joe Straczynski stop writing the Spidey books just so he could frickin' finish Supreme Power.
He's Supreme Power, you don't know what's going on, do you? It's not going to be a Max title anymore. It's rolling over to the Marvel Knights line, I think. And it's going to be called... I forget. Something. Not Supreme Power.
So now they're saying that this is happening in the Marvel Universe
once
proper?
Once they do that, there won't be any boobies. Once they do that, they're crossing over. That's when they're crossing over with Ultimate Spider-Man. But Power's going to be out of the title, and it's going to be called the Ultimate Power Crossover. It's Ultimate Power, and it confuses the hell out of me. But it's just... I kind of gave up on Supreme Power because it's just so decompressed. And I gave it a chance, and I liked the first few issues. And then it never picked up speed. It never, you know, it was like ridiculous. And it's got a lot of potential. I really enjoy what they're doing there. And we'll see. And I'll still continue to give it a shot, but it was coming out every 2 months, and Joe has admitted that he's finally able to start turning in scripts. And he's actually, you know, apparently there was a large learning curve for JMS going over to comics.
Yeah, he had to figure out how to write a comic script as opposed to writing a TV script, and things you can do in one that you can't do in the other, and vice versa.
And it took him a long-ass time to figure that out. But now apparently he's able to turn in scripts, and he's got some other projects, and there's some interesting projects he's doing. I'd like to see him expand beyond Spider-Man, expand beyond, you know, do more interesting, more compelling stories, and I hope they do that. I'm all for compelling stories. I'm not all for rehashing the same old bullshit. There's a one-shot. Fantastic Four, A Death in the Family. They have come out and said it resolves itself in that issue. Everything I've heard... all four members of the Fantastic Four are still around. So whoever dies clearly comes back. What the fuck?
Either that or they kill off Franklin, who, yeah, bloody hell, about time.
But then he couldn't be in Spider-Girl, and he's interesting in Spider-Girl. Fantastic Five's interesting in Spider-Girl. I just, you know... There are a lot of different ways they can handle things. They can try to have a classic Marvel sensibility, which is what Spider-Girl does best, or they can continue with what they're doing and completely lose that Marvel sensibility and all their connection. And I'm just, Joe Q is not, I'm not a big Joe Q fan. He's done some good things, he's done some shitty things. I think what Didio over at DC is doing is better, and I'm excited about it. Now, there's one other thing I want to talk about real quick, and I'm worried it's more of a stunt than anything. There is a new series coming to Marvel, and it's in continuity, maybe. It is being billed as the return of Jack Kirby to Marvel.
Jack Kirby's dead.
A lot of times they'll just say the return of Kirby. His daughter, Lisa Kirby, found some character concepts and some sketches of her father's when she was cleaning out his stuff, and has been working for the last 8-9 years, I guess, on bringing it to some medium. And they eventually came to Marvel, and she's writing, it's called Galactic Bounty Hunters. And she'll be writing it, and there's a couple of artists that have worked with Jack. And it could be really interesting. I don't know. I don't know whether she can write. I'll probably buy the first issue, and we'll see. Kirby wasn't always the greatest writer. Sometimes he was awesome. Sometimes he was a genius. Sometimes he sucked monkey ass. He was a very hot and cold kind of guy. His art was influential, and I'm interested, but it's a stunt. I'm tired of the stunts. That's really where I'm at.
Yeah.
I have absolutely
no interest in that at all.
I'm totally behind anything that's going to make the storytelling more interesting, which is what they're doing with over at DC right now. I'm so interested.
Yeah, whatever happened to story? I don't care about the stunts. I care about a good, ongoing story.
Well, and that's what I like about Infinite Crisis, is it's meant to bring everything back together and give everyone a new starting point that is within continuity, but gives them a little freedom, and it gives a little mystery. So you're not walking into all these titles going, oh, it's Aquaman, he's going to swim around and beat up fish. And Aquaman...
Well, he beats up people. The fish are his friends.
Aquaman, Sword of Atlantis, is awesome. The first issue was awesome. There's mystery. We don't know who the fuck this new Aquaman is. His name's Arthur Curry, but he has no recollection of ever being Aquaman. He's younger than Aquaman was. Crazy. Some crazy shit. You've got an entirely new Flash, and they're, as far as I can tell, they're paying a lot of attention to the legacy, and they're doing some very interesting things there. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the new Blue Beetle. Whole new concept for Blue Beetle, not like the two previous ones, which were pretty much the exact same guy. I mean, you know, visually, but it's still being written by Giffen. I'm excited about these things. I'm honestly interested in reading comics, but not the Marvel ones. And that's what's pissing me off. For a while, Marvel could do no wrong in my book. I was picking up more Marvel titles and dropping DC titles. And I'm sure it will continue to be a pendulum swing. But I just got to say, Marvel, I'm on the outs with Marvel. And,
I don't think it's going to get better at Marvel until Joe Q moves on and does something else, and they get a new editor-in-chief. Because really, throughout his entire career, all Joe Q has known how to do is the sensational. Yeah. The BAM! You know? And really, you can only do that for so long before people start to kind of bored now, you know, it... You need a good ongoing story to make this work.
And, hey, Jeff and I... And who better would know about ongoing stories than Jeff and I? Well, other than people who are really, really successful with them. But...
Yeah, no, which is completely unlike us.
Yeah. We're depressed. So anyway, that's been the Comic Cornucopia.
Somebody go to serialfiction.net, please!
Buy our stuff! Please buy our stuff!
So far, we're...
You buy our stuff!
So far, we're spending over 40 to 50 times as much in advertising as we're making. So, I don't think that's sustainable for real long. Yeah, it's,
We stopped advertising. That didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
I don't know... We've got to figure out how to get ourselves out there. But I think, actually, we'll talk a little bit about that in next week's SerialFiction.net
podcast.
We've got a lot to talk about writing.
Yeah.
We had a lot to talk about tonight.
How we both almost quit and then decided, oh, what the hell, we'll keep doing this. So,
It was an emotional roller coaster of a week. And a day that to end all days. So, I think that's it. I think we're done. I think we're toasty.
Josh, I mean, today was such a bad day that Josh almost got sucked up into the sky by the rapture. All right. That's going to do it for...
I'm going to giggle for that, dude. Sorry.
Wow. So I pissed off a bunch of Christians for nothing?
No, it's good. Okay. It's always good, but... Oh, wait! Speaking of pissed off Christians!
Oh, we're so dead.
I got nothing. Okay. I got something.
All right.
Talking about.
All right, so that's going to do it for this week's Maximum Geek, and if you still feel like listening next week, we'll be doing the serialfiction.net, and
well,
then after that, we'll be doing another Max Geek, and,
as long as
you know, if you want to drop by and all, you know, and see what we're up to, you know. So,
listen,
we'll talk to you next week.
Respond on our forums, I command you.
Yeah, or not.